Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Easter. It is going to be a chocolate frenzy tomorrow, and it's going to be a great show here on Dead Set Legends this morning. We've had our first rotation of the year. B Vince out, and one of our favourites is in today, Big Sauce Jacobs. A big welcome to you, Sauce.
Thanks very much, boys. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, back in Adelaide. We're going to pick your brains about, of course, your move to GWS and what you've been doing over the last few weeks. So we're looking forward to that. And also a very, very, very big welcome. A little bit of a different week for you, Jars, this week. You tired or you all right?
No.
You did breakfast radio. You're a bit cranky.
No. Where you at? Good morning to you, Greg. Sauce, welcome to the team and to Adelaide. Good morning. I hope you're going to apologise to Sauce, Greg Blewett. You being a Crows fanboy, you whacked him when he got kicked out of the Adelaide Crows and went to GWS and you slagged him on the radio.
Did I?
And now he's here. You're going to apologise to him?
No. I certainly... I wanted him here, mate. He's a legend of the Crows.
You said he was finished as a player in a Crows jumper. You're so two-faced, mate.
Here
typical cricket attitude.
And he was named in the top 20 of the all-time Crows in the paper. It was named at number 20?
20?
No Andrew Jarman in there either. Yeah, a little bit controversial. But Sauce has used his contacts, and we've got an amazing guest on coming up just after 9:30, and that is, of course, NBA superstar Joe Ingles. Well done, Sauce.
Thanks very much, boys. It's nice to have some contacts around the world. It's nice to contribute.
Righto. Yeah, righto. Brad Pitt. Jeepers. Well done. Yeah. Joe Ingles, that's a great get. Well played. How do you know him, Big Sauce?
Well, when obviously his wife Renee played at the Thunderbirds, he came to Adelaide and I was at one of the games and I just met him from there and caught up with him over in the States when I was over there a couple of years ago. We just obviously struck up a friendship. So trying to get him on board the Giants. He's a Mad Hawks man, but we'll see. We'll ask him later on if I've been able to turn him or not.
All right. So he's coming up. We've got Mark Rusciuto on the show too, coming up after 11. There's some big horse races today. So we're going to get Roo's tips for the day. Jay-Z is on as well to give us the latest on maybe a possible start for the AFL. Of course, the NRL have named a date that they might start off their season again. Port's top 150, boys. So we're going to discuss that as well and get some calls. At Home with the Legends back. And we're going to talk to Sauce about maybe some private ownership too of the GWS. It's an interesting topic at the moment. And of course, Joe Ingles coming up very, very shortly.
Blue.
Yeah.
Have you dyed your hair?
No.
Looks like you've dyed your hair.
No.
Or have you had it put some bloody new hair in there or something? Have you?
No.
Have you done
just a little slick back today, Jars.
Oh, have a look at you. It's like a rug.
Looks good, Bluey. Bluey, Jars, and Sauce, your Dead Set Legends. It's Triple M with Greg Blewett, Andrew Jarman and Sam Jacobs, your Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota this morning.
Yes, got the great news last night that Bernie Vince had just decided to pick and choose again when he works with this great...
Where is he? Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
who cares? No, seriously.
Hang on. Hey. We do care.
No.
But you're right. He's got his own little contract and he does whatever he likes.
Yep.
And it's not on, Gregory.
Yep.
You've got to sort that out, my friend.
Well, he gives us 2 or 3 days' notice and then... The great news was that Big Sauce was back in town and he's joined us for the whole show here this morning, which is great news. Now, Sauce, you're back in town, mate, back in Glenelg. What's been happening in your world?
Yeah, well, I've been laying low. So after we played Geelong on the Saturday night, the obviously news come through on the Sunday that they were going to look at closing the borders and all that sort of stuff. So we chucked as much in the car as we can and headed home back to SA, but coming back home, we had to isolate. So we went back to my wife's farm on the York Peninsula and hid out there for 2 weeks. So now we just made our way back to Glenelg to bunker down in Adelaide.
And Sauce, do you like the idea that the AFL may look at the three different states and the 3-16 competition if we do come back? And what's your thoughts on that? And do you support it? Because there has been mixed reviews from coaches and current players on this possible concept.
Yeah, I support getting back playing as soon as we can, you know, and obviously, you know, the safety and the priority comes first with the players and everyone involved. But, you know, sooner we can get back playing and get some footy back on our screens, the better it will be for not only the players and the industry, but I reckon everyone who's tuning in at home as well. So, you know, I'd much rather wait until it's absolutely locked in and we can get back to a, you know, a semi-regular season rather than the hubs. But I guess that's, you know, above us. And as players, we'll do the best thing for the game.
Now, Source, everyone's gone their own separate directions. You're back here in Adelaide. I'd imagine that most of your teammates in Sydney would have paired up and training in pairs. A little bit more difficult for you being solo back here in Adelaide.
Yeah, it's a good point. It has been challenging, especially being on the farm. It's not like there's a gym in the near area. So I had to get a bit creative at times. Lucky there was some old, you know, old machinery and old, you know, things that I could use on the farm to make some weight. So I guess the one positive was that I wasn't short for land. So I could run and run and run for days.
So say if we don't get back, say if it's late August, September that the AFL decide to say, look, we're going to wipe out 2020, and it may happen with the other associations and competitions. Are you concerned and scared that you may have played your last game of AFL football?
It's a good point, but what gives me comfort is I'm contracted for next year. So, as you're saying, I had a really, really good pre-season. I obviously started the year, I was really happy with my first game, and so I'm feeling as good a spot as any. And if it was 6 months, 8 months, if it's the whole season and we have time off, you know, I'm very confident that come next year, my body's going to be in a great shape and I'm going to be in a good spot to be able to attack it again. So who knows, if we go to a shortened year, it might extend my career as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Now, what's life like as a GWS boy, Source? You, of course, before all this hit the fan, would have been, you know, over there pre-season, start to the season. And how have you settled in, and what are the main differences, you think?
Yeah, I love it. It's been a really refreshing change. Just one of those things that the Crows, you know, my time had come. The club had taken a new direction. You know, I'd had my time. It's Riley's time now to lead the charge there for the Crows. So I'm very grateful to have 9 fantastic years there, but it's nice to go to Sydney and, you know, different lifestyle, different club. No one has much idea what's going on at all with AFL, so it's quite refreshing from that point of view. But I'm looking forward to actually experiencing Sydney. I've copped the bushfires at the start, and now we've got the virus. So once we get back, and hopefully I can get a bit of routine and settle right in up there again.
Source, do you love the 16.5-minute quarters? Are they here to stay?
I do, actually. It's funny that you look at the scores, and the scores aren't a whole lot different other than when we play them. I think with the 20 minutes and time on, I think it's probably got, you know, the way with stoppages, you know, some quarters are going 30, 35 minutes, which is way too long. You want the game to be punchy. You want it to be high scoring. And I think what we saw in round one was a good example of that. And, you know, the more we can keep the better players out there, I think, you know, obviously I'll watch the Ruckman mainly, but I think Max Gawn, you know, only came off twice for the game. So against the Eagles. So if we can see more players like that actually staying on the ground, and who knows, Jarls, you might go back to the old days where you might play midfield and then you might go forward as opposed to the bench.
Nice. That's better.
Now, just before we take a bit of a break and then talk about private ownership with you, Source, Leon Cameron, what sort of an operator is he?
Yeah, no, he's great. He's obviously, his football stuff, you know, second to none. He's been around some really successful teams. Obviously, he came from Hawthorn and obviously had some success at the Giants. Not quite the ultimate yet, but he's just really caring. He's really genuine. He's got a fantastic family, and they've opened their doors to us, and we've been able to spend time with them.
All right, Source. Take a little bit of break here, and then on the return side of this, we're going to talk about the rumour going around that GWS might be privately owned.
Bluey, Giles and Source, your Dead Set Legends this morning on Triple M for CMI Toyota. Buy your next dream car online with Order and Collect.
Yeah.
.7 Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Greg Bluer, Andrew Jarman and Sam Jacobs this morning.
Thank you, G. Now, Source, your CEO, Dave Matthews, has weighed in on the discussion re-private ownership. And obviously, we're talking about this because all of our codes are getting smashed to oblivion financially with the Chinese virus wiping us out at the moment. Two American millionaires are showing interest in maybe bankrolling your football club. Do you support the idea of maybe one day having a private ownership of your football club? Do you think it'll happen in the AFL?
I don't think it'll happen. I think what the AFL has done and put into place is to make sure that the 18 clubs are viable and that we still have an 18-10 competition, you know, effectively run by the AFL and by the club themselves. So,
right.
It's definitely an interesting talking point, but I think right now, I think you probably need to almost go all in or not at all, because I think there's a lot of things that can come out and advantages that you might get from private ownership that you mightn't get from other teams and things like that, because obviously teams are looking just to run the books and they rely on their fans and all that sort of stuff rather than, you know, multimillionaires coming in and having a big impact.
But Source, if you talk about the advantages, but you would think even if you were privately owned, which is a complete outside chance, I would think, but you know, the salary cap would have to fall in line and probably even your soft cap as well.
Yeah, it'll all come into line. But I think one of the other things that the AFL are doing, and we're making really great inroads in Canberra and Greater Western Sydney. I think if private ownership comes in, where does all that sit? You know, the main reason for the Giants to go there was to grow the game in Western Sydney, and we're doing that really well. And it's great, you know, for me to come up there from Adelaide. You know, you sort of got no idea how hard it is at times, you know, getting fans and all that sort of stuff. And the inroads we're making in Greater Western Sydney's been unreal. So I think if you went down the private ownership path, you probably lose the grassroots aspect of it as well. So there's some big things either way.
And that's why it's important. Membership of football clubs is so important. And we know Richmond and Collingwood, they're around 100,000 plus financial members. Mate, they're your millionaires. They support your footy club. So yeah, private ownership, I don't think will ever work in AFL football. You've got to remember, let's go back in the 80s when Jeff Edelston purchased the Sydney Swans. That was disastrous. Yeah, he put in about $7 million of his own money and got stuff all back in return.
And it's untapped at the moment. I think we've got membership. I think we're ahead of both the Queensland teams and I think maybe Kangaroos or St Kilda or someone like that. So we're only new, you know, we're only 10 years deep in the competition and we've already, you know, making big inroads at our membership. So, you know, give us another 10, 20 years of growth. I think Giants can potentially become one of the biggest clubs in the AFL.
But, Jars, is it fair to say that it works in other competitions? You've got a list there of, you know, where it works. EPL is a great example of that.
Yeah, it does, yep. What do they pay for a club? What are these owners? How much does it cost those owners to get those Indian owners? What are they? Is it 10 million or what?
No, you're talking about IPL, aren't you?
IPL, I'm talking about IPL. Oh. How much is it to be a private owner of a franchise?
Yeah, I don't know. That? I think it varies from franchise to franchise. I've got no idea, but
they're
huge.
You can't put a dollar on it?
No, I can't.
Okay, righto.
No.
A lot of those teams go under anyway, don't they, Bluey?
I think they're just starting to make money, actually, in the IPL. Like, it's gone from strength to strength, and from all reports, even the Big Bash here, I mean, it was costing Cricket Australia a lot of money for a long period of time, but now they're just starting to break even. So I think it takes a little while, but from what I know is the franchises, a lot of them in the IPL are now making good money.
Yeah, well, A-League clubs are struggling. They've got private ownership, haven't they? They've got a couple of millionaires, and we see a lot of those clubs struggling. Central Coast Mariners, look at our club, Adelaide United. You know, we've got a consortium that purchased us.
I think that's why the AFL is so great, is because we are, like you said, Jars, we're owned by the membership and by the fans, and the amount of time we put back into all levels is important.
All right, interesting chat, but time to break that off and head now to a break. And when we come back, the overnight scoreboard. I'm interested in this, Jars, because there's nothing happening in sport. But Jars, next with the scoreboard.
104.7 Triple M with Bluey, Jars and Source, your Dead Set Legends this morning on Triple M. For CMI Toyota, pick up and drop off vehicle service now available.
Well, boys, you wanted me to come with a splash. You wanted me to bring something to the plate this morning, so I've organised one of my mates. He's Adelaide born. He travels the world playing basketball. He's one of the greatest boomers of all time.
and he's the current Utah Jazz star, Joe Ingles. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I told you, I'm only going to do any part of the radio in Australia if you were on it. So I kept my promise and I'm here.
You're too kind, mate. You're too kind. The kids are in bed?
Kids are in bed. They are out, basically outdoors all day, every day at the moment. So they're in bed asleep by like five past six, and they get up at 7 a.m. So we've got it pretty good.
That's a good routine. So how is isolation going? And obviously you're used to being on the road so much. How is it being at home and being able to spend bulk time with the kids at home?
Honestly, it's been really good. Like you said, I think for me and obviously Renee and our family, even the kids are so used to me not being here. And it's actually funny you brought that up, because my daughter, we were just laying in bed singing some songs to my daughter, and she said, "Daddy, you've been here for so long." And I was like, "Yeah, and like I'm probably going to be here for a little while longer." And she said, "I know, because we have a jazz calendar that we have on the fridge with our schedule on it. We ripped it off the fridge the other day." And she said, "It's because the calendar's not on the fridge." And I was like, "Yeah, you're too smart." But yeah, so I've really enjoyed obviously being around the kids and the family because of my schedule. But I get a real life look at what Renee does every day. And it's a credit to all those mums and single parents out there.
Well said, Joe. Now, we know it's strange old times at the moment. And, of course, you had that devastating news too, you know, the accident with Kobe Bryant and his family and other families involved as well. So there's been plenty of things happening over there. How did that affect the whole community there with the NBA?
Yeah, it was probably the saddest kind of day in the NBA that I've been a part of, and probably a lot of players have been a part of. And it was so out of the blue. It was kind of scary in the fact of how kind of quick and everything obviously happened. And we had actually just finished practice, and I've got two teammates that played with Kobe for a few years, and I think everyone was pretty shook because of who he was and the impact he had on so many people, and then even just general basketball fans. It wasn't people that just played with him. He was a legend and a hero to so many people. And I mean, the two teammates I've got that were teammates with him were really rattled for a long time. And it was something that just shook the whole community, the basketball world. And I mean, I still see things now of people kind of paying tribute and stuff to it. So it just shows how much of an impact he had on the game and on so many people. And I'm glad that I got to play against him. I got to guard him in his last ever game. I played against him several times. I have had some really cool interactions with him over the years of me playing. So really, really fortunate I got to do that, but obviously extremely kind of saddened that it happened the way it did.
Talking to Australian champion Joe Ingles. Joe, it's Jazz here, mate. How are you, buddy? Haven't spoken to you for a while.
I'm good. 97... I was a big Crows fan. My dad made me watch all the Crows.
Yeah, that was my younger brother. I was sacked here before Joe. We weren't going to go there. Yeah, but now you're a Hawthorn man. Haven't you changed? Have you jumped colours? You've jumped footy clubs, haven't you?
Well, I was never, like, I'm not going to say I was like a diehard AFL fan growing up. My dad played soccer, so we watched a lot of soccer. And yeah, when we were in Adelaide growing up, it was Crows or Port, and I definitely wasn't going for Port. So we followed the Crows, and then one of my best mates is Ruffy. So when he got drafted to Hawthorn, I just kind of jumped ship. And it's really more of like a Ruffy fan group than anything else. I just support him. So I was supporting the Box Hill Hawks when he went down and was getting dropped. And then I'm on the Lynn Gaffer Parrots or whatever he's paying for this year. So wherever he goes, I get a hoodie and represent him.
Beautiful.
Joe, now we know you're the second best athlete in your family. Renee's
the fourth now with the kids.
Yeah, true. Renee's, is she still running her marathon?
She just got cancelled. It was meant to be next weekend. Obviously, with what's going on, it's been cancelled. And we actually had a couple other things. We had a pretty big tour in Dakota with our charity this year that we've had to postpone as well, just because of not knowing kind of what's going to happen. So she's she still trains like she's a professional athlete and still playing. But yeah, I'm easily definitely third, maybe fourth behind Jacob.
and how is the training going? It's obviously challenging for everyone. I guess you've got a great training partner at home, which obviously helps. So are you on the treadmill? Are you at the gym? What are you doing?
Yeah, we're lucky. So we're not allowed to go into the facility, the Jazz facility at all. So we're like the 30 days that we've been home since the game that got cancelled, I've literally left the house like three or four times. And that's like fill up with gas one time. And I think I went to the supermarket one time. But it makes it really hard because a lot of our fitness as well is you just can't emulate the basketball side fitness. So I can run a treadmill or ride a bike or bicep curl as much as I want, but nothing's going to emulate playing 5-on-5 on a court. So there's a very select few players out of the 450 that will have courts at home. And even then they're by themselves. So they're probably shooting or whatever, but there's actually nothing that's going on. So obviously if and when we do go back, there's going to be some kind of a mini training camp. So we'll probably get 10 days, 14 days to get back in the flow of it, and then obviously some games before playoffs.
Hey, Joe, we're hearing here that there's, and I don't know whether you've heard anything, maybe a mid to late May start again for the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, we honestly haven't. It's funny, we get asked obviously a lot, and my family and everyone, and it's we honestly haven't heard much more than what gets put out to the media. There's obviously ongoing talks, and there's so many restrictions obviously with traveling and all that at the moment that half the teams wouldn't be able to travel anyway. So even if they were deciding to the latest kind of thing is go to Vegas or go somewhere and everyone go to one place and we just play with no fans and kind of play whatever 10 games. We had about 18 games left, I think, so play 10 games and then just get into the playoffs. But we can't do anything, obviously, until the travel stuff eases off. So a lot of it will be on the American great President Donald Trump, and he'll have a lot of say in when you're allowed to travel and when we're allowed to get back out there. And obviously, as a player and as an athlete, he's got fans that want to watch and family and friends and all that. So we're itching to get out there, but a lot of it's just a waiting game at the moment.
Joe, with Jacob, with his autism, I think it's good to touch on what you're doing with all the sensory rooms, you know, with Etihad Stadium and in America as well. What do you think? There's an opportunity to do something at Adelaide Oval in that space?
It's funny you bring that up. So we did Marvel, as it's called now, and that was awesome to be a part of one of the first ones in Australia. And the idea was to do one every off season and just kind of keep building the sense of rooms and the awareness and all of that. And the question was, well, where do we go next? And Renee's from Melbourne, I'm obviously from Adelaide, and Adelaide Oval was the next idea. It was trying to find some big wigs that we could introduce me to the people that know the right people, which is probably you guys. And then it's just a matter of getting in there and then obviously finding a space. But Adelaide's obviously really important to me, being born and bred there. And so hopefully that down the track, hopefully this off season, if it's something we can do, we'll definitely love to do. Because like you said, it's a huge part of our life. And we just know what the difference it makes for us to be able to go to a stadium or whatever with a sensory room at that venue. So it's a huge thing. And if Adelaide Oval's open to it, we'll 100% jump on board.
Great stuff,
I don't think you'll struggle with too much support here, mate.
No.
So, mate, you're an absolute star. Thanks for coming on. I owe you a big
Brilliant.
Time. Thanks for chatting to the boys and keep enjoying isolation.
No worries. I hope you keep your job for a couple more weeks.
See you, mate. Well done, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks,
Joe Ingles from Utah Jazz, nice. Chatting with your Dead Set legends, Bluey Jazz.
Right on, Sauce.
Triple M. 104.7 Triple M with Bluey Jazz and Sauce, your Dead Set legends this morning.
Now, boys, Port Adelaide selected their 150th greatest footballers. Obviously, they're celebrating their 150th year this year, and there's some debate going around now. They didn't put them in 1 to 150. It was alphabetically in order. That's how they did it, with Bruce Abernethy leading the charge. And then it finished with Lloyd Zucker as the final Port Adelaide 150th player. But there's some names in there. There's only five current-day players in there. Which is Travis Boak. He deserves to be in there. Robbie Gray, absolutely, my friends. And then we go over to Justin Westhoff, Ollie Wines. They're in that group. I don't know about Ollie Wines in that group. No, I'm serious. And nothing against Ollie Wines, but surely there could be a couple of more wonderful Magpies players that got in there with young Ollie. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but... Interesting, boys. Some of the names and some of there's some great play. I played against probably about 30 of those blokes in that list, and gee, they were a wonderful footy club back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
They were dirty, scary weren't stuff. They, Jars? Dirty team.
No, they weren't. No? They just played tough. Brad Ebert was the other one. They played tough, Blue. What do you mean dirty? How would we define dirty?
Wouldn't they get in amongst your plums at the bottom of a pack and they'd, you know, just.
That was Tim Jennifer.
They'd do whatever they could to win. That era, it was great to watch. I mean, they were relentless, absolutely relentless.
Source, this is what I. Yeah. This is a panel picked the squad. Timmy Jennifer, the great Timmy Jennifer, Brian Cunningham, a wonderful player. Bob Philp and Treaders, our boy Tred used to be here. Daniel Norton was in there also. They picked it on their contribution to the Port Adelaide Football Club, not on what they did at other clubs or coaches or administration. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's important. I think that's a smart way of doing it. You wanna see what they've done for the Port Adelaide Footy Club, because if players come in and have a good couple of years, you know, they're probably not going to be that high on the list. But it's a great list. It's even as a footy tragic like I am, going back through all the old names is unreal. But I'd love to see a top 10 or a top 20.
Yep. So you want to see a top 20. You want to see the greatest top 20 Port Adelaide players of all time, not 150.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great to name, you know, put a number on it, and I understand it's 150th year celebration. So I love seeing all the names and going back through them all. But I think if you could try and have a crack at 10 to 20, if nothing else, it just creates good debate.
It certainly does. So a couple of guys in my era, Jars, growing up as well, which is slightly younger than yours. But, you know, names like Timmy Evans, he dominated up forward, didn't he? I want to ask you about Scott Hodges. He was an interesting one, like dominated for Port Adelaide. Did we see him at his best with the Crows, do you think?
No, not at the Adelaide Crows. Yep. At the Port Magpies, he played his best football. Yep. No question about that. And he was a superb player at full foot. When Port Adelaide won all their premierships, they always had a talented full forward, a really strong full forward. If you look at their premierships, they always had that big, you know, 6'3" full forward, 6'4" full forward, like a Timmy Evans, like a Scotty Hodges. They were scary. And then you throw in bloody Bomber Clifford, who was just a character, but a wonderful footballer. Bomber Clifford was one of the best players I played against. I don't see Dave Granger in there.
No.
Hey?
Well, that's what I was saying.
He was a
that...
very good player. Oh, mate, he could play footy when he was focused on the footy. Don't
that
worry about
wasn't
that.
Very often, was it?
But there's some great names. And so what we spoke about, chaps, is who's number one? 133353, who's number one? Now, is it Jeff Motley? Is it the great Bob Quinn? Is it the great man himself, Russell Ebert? Oof. You know, is it Mark Williams? That's what we need to know.
Warren
What was it like, Jars, going to Albert and Oval when Port Adelaide were at their best?
Scary.
Intimidating? Scary?
Yes, but... You know, 15,000, 16,000 suburban football at its best. It was tough. But the funny thing is, back in the 80s, we'd always beat Port at Alberton, but yet Port would always beat us at Prospect. Very weird. Very weird. But we had some great games, some of the best games you ever played against.
Great era.
Wasn't it? And, you know, and you miss those suburban games of football where you get your 15,000, 16,000 there on a Saturday at 2 o'clock or quarter past two, but... 133353, who's number one? Because we can't decide. Source,
Russell Ebert.
Bluey.
Russell Ebert.
All right, 133353, tell the guys what you think. Bluey Jars and Sauce, your dead set legends this morning on Triple M for CMI Toyota. 104.7 Triple M. It's your dead set legends, Bluey Jars and Sauce.
Now, we're discussing Port Adelaide's top 150 players, and we're going to go to our callers next just to hear from them who they think the best ever Port Adelaide player. But, boys, I'll just we were talking about that era, and just before we go to those callers, I remember going to the Elizabeth Oval, watching my mighty Bulldogs take on Port Adelaide. So yeah. This would have been in the 80s, I reckon, mid-80s, and and Port Adelaide were the hated team. And I remember a supporter, a Central District supporter, having a stick with a dead magpie on the end of it. Like, you know,
wow.
Just poking it up in the air, you know, just
gee,
to say.
That's brave.
Oh, mate, it was.
They turned on it.
It was pretty ordinary, but that was that era, wasn't it? Anything went, Jars, and you played amongst it.
Well, it was. Yeah, it was scary, Blue. And the thing is, if you sit there and you go, all right, well, who's the number one player out of that 150 years? And you're going to get some debate. And the other one I forgot to mention, who I think is right up there with Russell Ebert, is Gavin Wanganeen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've always felt he was the best modern-day player that I ever saw and played with and against. He was extraordinary. He's right up there with Russell Ebert. But I think for us three, Russell Ebert is the number one man, yeah?
And yeah, for me, yeah. And you mentioned Bobby Quinn as well.
Yeah, the great Bobby Quinn.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. All right, let's take some calls now. Let's first go to Alex from Westbourne Park. Good morning, Alex.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Look, I reckon Russell Ebert or Jack Cale, as a player and as a coach, who's done more for that footy club?
Well, the both of them have.
You're correct. That's what I see. So number one or number one and two, Russell Ebert, Jack Cale.
Done. Yeah, can't. Yeah,
and you could even put Jack Hale first.
Ooh, yeah, true. 10 premierships.
Yeah, under that criteria of what they've done, the overall.
But it's their contribution.
Yep.
If it's their contribution, it's tough to split, isn't it?
Yep.
How many premierships did Ebert get?
Oh, Russell Ebert. Great question. Thanks for telling. I need Bruce
Maddie. He'd have to go close to the seven, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll find out.
All right, beautiful.
Good on you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex. Let's go to Rob from Paraka. Your thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, it's hard to go past Foss. Foss Williams.
Yep.
You know, you got a man, Rob. You got a man that led by example, Jars.
Yeah, true. Yeah, right. He started the culture, didn't he?
Right across the board. Sorry?
Yeah.
He started the culture.
Right across the board. He didn't tell a man to do something that he wasn't prepared to do himself.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Well said. Absolutely. And produced wonderful sons, too, to play for the Port Adelaide Footy Club with a legacy. Stephen Williams, Mark, wonderful Williams family. Anthony Williams before
Anthony
his
death. Anthony as well. Yeah, poor Anthony.
What a wonderful family. Spot on, yep. Mate. Good on you, Rob.
All right. Good on you, Rob. Thank you. Let's go to Tommy from the Barossa. Good morning, Tommy.
Good day, fellas. How you going?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
I'd have to go for my ex-bosses or a man, a fellow called Jack Dermody. He was born in Kapunda, and he captained the pack, back-to-pack premiership in 36 and 37. Well, I said, he was a good player, or Jack Dermody.
Okay.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah, you're right, Tommy. There he is, yep. He's just below Roger Delaney. Old Roger Delaney, old fullback for Port Adelaide, absolutely.
Yeah, good countryman. Yeah.
All right. Beautiful.
Russell Ebert won 3 premierships with Port Adelaide. Oh, I can't believe it. I thought there was more than that.
Yeah. I thought it would be more than that, too.
He's won more than 3 premierships with Port, the great man, surely. Anyway.
All right. We'll keep moving. Thank you very much. Right. Let's go to Doug from Blakeview. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, good day, guys. To me, Port Adelaide's the enemy, but I think one of the most underrated players they ever had was Josh Franco in the early days of Port Power. He was the gun. He came runner-up in the Brownlow Medal playing for Port. But the most influential person at Port Adelaide would have to be Mark Williams. He got him to win an AFL premiership in the 8th year of AFL. It's so hard to do to win an AFL premiership. And he got all the players to get the job done for him, so... Yeah, Mark Williams.
Dougie, you're right.
Maybe not as a player, but certainly as a person at the football club, it's pretty good achievement, I think.
Yep, absolutely. That's Mark would have to be right up there, wouldn't he? So
there's just some great family names at Port Magpies, isn't there? Looking through the list. It's great that it's just so, you know, they've all won premierships, they've all been a part of it. And I agree, the 2004 one was a massive one.
Yeah, all families, right. Yep.
One more call. Let's go to Nick from Clare Valley. Nick.
How you going there?
Good, good. What are your thoughts? Who's number one?
Yeah, well, it would have to either be between Choco Williams or Russell Ebert, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh, God.
Choco Williams. It'd be a hard toss-up, but, probably out of the two, I reckon probably Russell Ebert. I've actually seen him play many years ago, and, he was the man, wasn't he?
Jack Cale?
Well, probably up there too, I suppose. Yeah, yep. It's but oh god, we could keep going forever, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we could. Hey Nick, before you go, Dave Granger for me was the most fearsome player alongside Robbie Muir, and lucky I only played against.
He's a pretty scary fella, wasn't he? Yeah.
But Dave Granger, when he focused on playing football, he was one of the most talented centre half forwards going around in the competition.
Yes,
he should
be
in that 150. I'm surprised he wasn't named in the 150.
I reckon he should be up there, shouldn't he? But, we can, as I said, you can just keep going, couldn't you?
Well done, mate. Good on you, Nick. Take care, mate. Have a good Easter.
Your Dead Set Legends this morning. Bluey Jars and Sauce for CMI Toyota. The overnight scoreboard next. 104.7 Triple M with Greg Blewett, Andrew Jarman and Sam Jacobs, your Dead Set Legends this morning for CMI Toyota. Book a test drive at your home or workplace today.
All right, chaps, let's see what happened in the Blewett household this week. What's going on, young Gregory?
Yeah, been tracking all right, Jars and Sauce. Mm-hmm. Getting on beautifully with my wife, has to be said. You know, I think a few other couples are under a bit of a strain, you know, being at home all this time, but we're going beautifully, it has to be said. So love you, Catherine.
I see you in today's paper, you know, swanning around as usual with your bleached hair and your teeth capped and all
hair.
That kind of in today's paper. Nice photo shoot.
Is there? I haven't seen it today, but anyway, we'll get. Well, I'm not like you, Jars. I don't keep my own scrapbook. All right. So, but anyway, having a few toilet issues again with our youngest, Rory, who's three. So, Jars and Sauce. So, what he does is, as you know, and Em, you can jump in as well if you want. But when he goes to the toilet to do his wee or his tittles or piddles or whatever you want to call it. He doesn't get the shorts and the jocks down low enough, Jars. Like he doesn't get them under the plum.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is pointed up and not down.
Right.
So it's like, and you know what it's like at that age when you're young, it's like a fire hose going off. You've got
isn't
that much
it?
Pressure.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Catherine's getting very, very annoyed every night having to clean up an absolute mess in the toilet. But anyway, we're doing homeschooling with Sam as well. So he's in reception and he learnt the alphabet, but there's a slight little twist at the end. So just take a listen, a little Sammy.
Go.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, I, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my ABC. Next time, will you fart with me? Q-I-S-T-U-V.
So, a slight little twist,
brilliant,
which is a little bit concerning, but he's obsessed with farting, Jars.
Nothing
and
wrong
sauce.
With that, my friend.
He thinks there's a fart catcher. Whenever he farts, someone catches it. So. But anyway, I'm hoping he doesn't go to
love.
School with that one. We're just going to get that ending right. But that was little Sammy learning the alphabet.
Gee, you're a teacher.
Yeah,
how do you go, little Sammy?
Hey?
How do you go?
Yeah, beautifully. So cute.
Yeah, wasn't it?
So cute.
Oh, lovely.
Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Jars and Sauce on Triple M. For CMI Toyota, your Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Jars and Sauce on Triple M.
Okay, gentlemen, quick-fire questions, quick-fire answers. No sitting on the fence. Greg, let's go to you, Greg Blewett. Is Dean Jones a big sook for blueing with Cricket Victoria?
Yeah, I reckon he sooked it up big time.
Right, you are. Sam Jacobs, do AFL coaches have a responsibility to play attractive footy when they resume?
No, winning's the main thing that they need to do.
So you think defensive football's the best thing to go and watch, not playing attacking footy?
No, I don't. But when you're coaching, you're judged on your wins and losses. And if you want to win and you play defensively, then so be it.
Sam Jacobs, who made the first move to Pash, you or Izzy, your wife?
Izzy. I was the catch.
Jeepers, Greg Blort. Why did you white Adam Zampa out of the Redbacks program?
Oh, what are you talking about? He's chosen to leave, I believe. Is it official, okay. Is it?
Well, you're telling the story, mate. You reckon he's selfish. Source, what attracts makes a sexy person?
Repeat that again.
What attracts makes a person sexy?
What attracts makes a person sexy?
Yeah.
Personality.
Greg Blewett, when was the last time you had a full body wax?
I've never had one, Jars.
Yes, you
never.
Have. You're hairy downstairs. We all know you're bloody like a forest down there, champ.
So your male is a disgrace.
Honestly.
I've never been waxed.
Own up. Fess up to the Triple M.
Yeah, I am.
Listeners.
I'm telling the truth. I've got to answer it.
Greg Blewett, how many chickens would it take to be able to kill a lion?
How many chickens would it take to kill a lion? 4,022.
Sam Jacobs, who's a better player, Bernie Vince or Tex Walker?
Ooh. Bernie Vince, two-time best and fairest winner.
Yes.
Oh, he shafted Tex. All right, Sam Jacobs, who's the toughest ruckman you've rucked against?
The toughest?
Hurry up.
Mark Jamer.
Mark Jamer. All right. Greg Blewett, how can police handcuff a man if he's only got one arm?
Put both wrists on the one arm.
Sam Jacobs, what's your favourite body part on your wife, Izzy?
Ooh. Ooh.
Her legs.
Greg nice Blewett, legs. Can you make the noise of an angry dog barking?
That's scary.
Sam Jacobs.
That's a pit
what
bull,
noise
mate.
Does a Sam Jacobs? That's very good, Blue. Source, what noise does a farm tractor make?
What sort of tractor is that?
Now I need you two to finish this off. I need you, Greg Blewett, barking at the tractor. Yep. Go.
That's Q&A with your Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Oh. 4.7 Triple M with your Dead Set Legends, Bluey, Jars and Sauce for CMI Toyota. Pick up and drop off vehicle service now available.
Sauce.
All right, boys.
Yeah,
my terms are brought.
Yeah.
Hey?
You're going to be long, Sauce? Fitting.
Nah. My turn, right or reply. Three quick fire questions.
Oh, here we go.
First one. With a world with no sport, what would you do on your weekends?
Well, who are you going to do first? You've got to say the name first and then do the question if you want to play this game.
All right, Jars, you go.
Right. I'll build outdoor furniture and give to the struggling families, mate.
Oh. Louis?
Mate. Is cards would cards be a sport or not?
Yes.
Cards is a sport.
Yes, it is.
All right, okay. Every weekend I would have my best six lads around for a barbecue and beers and wine.
But you can't. Social distancing, mate.
Very good.
He said a life without sport.
next one, Jars. This is my rules. Which teammate extended their career because they were good off field and in the locker room?
Good question. Lovely question. Clever question. Tony Modra.
Bluey.
I'm going to go for Mr. Fox Sports, Brendan Julian.
Good one.
Smooth move.
Big fake tan.
Smooth.
Was he really?
Last smooth. One. Bluey, you can start this off.
Yep.
What is your one luxury item that you couldn't give up? So like your phone, all that sort of stuff.
My one luxury item I couldn't give up. Yeah, I reckon my car. I don't reckon
Love
I could live
car.
Without my car. Yep.
Jars?
Jars, this is you, mate. This is when you need to answer.
Yep.
Quick fire.
Yes. Good question.
Truthfully, Jars.
Yes, good question. I like this question.
Him,
clever question.
Biding time. Come.
A concise question. Need to be answered. No. My dressing gown. Are you having a dressing gown, you knobheads?
Seriously.
What do you reckon? What kind of question's that?
Well, you got to give things up at times, Jars.
No, you do. No, great question, Source. Now, in the paper today, Greg Blewett,
yes.
You're swanning around.
Yes.
You've got your lovely family in there.
Thank you.
Easter. Everyone have a great Easter tomorrow and look after each other. What are you doing tomorrow with your family, Greg, even though you're in the paper?
Well, everyone's staying at home, as we know, isolating. So we're not going out and about. So we've got to get a little bit creative at home. And it's nothing, just a bit of an Easter hunt, mate, in the morning.
Okay. What kind of chocolate are you going to throw around the trees?
Well, I'm going this afternoon, actually. So straight on my way home. We'll get the, the small eggs. Yeah. They're sort of like the boys follow them around. Right. And then they might find something a little bit bigger. What's that? What's that?
You put your Easter bunny outfit on?
No, I'm gonna. No, I've got Catherine a nice little Easter bunny outfit. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, Sauce? What are you gonna do tomorrow, mate?
We'll do the Easter egg hunt for little daughter Emmy. Now that she knows a bit more what's going on.
Nice.
The good thing is she gets more excited for the hunt than the chocolate. So. I can tuck him in the chocolate.
You can whack into him. Beautiful.
Now, Jars, are you controlling things down there? Because I'm reading in the paper that everyone's hanging out around your area in the square there. And are they everyone doing the right thing?
Or
are you doing the policing? Are you out in the balcony waving people on? Or
no, it was carnage down at Henley Beach yesterday in the square. Mate, we're not listening to the rules. And everyone's just out and about as if nothing's going on. There was thousands of people down there yesterday.
Right.
Honestly, we've got to be careful. We're getting... Look, listen to the authorities, family. Social distancing regulations are still in place.
Now, I'm hearing it. Anyway. Now, I'm keeping fit. Sauce is keeping fit. What are you doing, Jars, at home? What's your little home routine?
I'm going to paint the decking. Have a great Easter. Sauce, thanks for... Mate, great stuff, Sauce. 3 votes today. Well played. Joe Ingles.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, Joe Ingles was brilliant. Bernie back next week, I believe. But good on you, boys. Thanks very much. Great show.
Loves.
Have a great Easter, everyone. See you next week.
Bluey, Jars and Sauce, your Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Saturday mornings from 9 for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of 1 hour express while you wait servicing.